Today I'm going to tell you a story about sitting on the bench. I was at a volleyball tournament of my son's this weekend that reminded me of a conversation I had a few years ago. I had worked part-time a couple of years ago at a retreat center, and I was just doing spiritual direction with people, which is very simply listening to their stories and trying to understand what God is up to in their life, and trying to help them see different pieces that you can pull together to find some of those trails that God has been leaving in your life, that where he's speaking to you and he's calling you to a deeper understanding of who he is or who you are. And I had a chance to be involved with that and do some training there and then work there for a couple of years. And it was great. It was fantastic. And I loved it. But I just found that it was pretty exhausting emotionally for me, and the kids were still young enough that they needed help here and there with school, and I just found it was too much. So I quit my job and decided to stay home for a couple of years. I went to school. I took a class, which was really good, but my week was still pretty quiet. You know, there was lots of days where I was still very much just at home by myself and getting things done around the house and studying, and it was just this very quiet life, and I appreciated it because it was the right amount of energy output that I had energy for, and I was still dealing with pain, and so that was always exhausting. So I was happy to have a few things going on, but there was a very quiet pace to my life, and I had gone over for lunch with one of my girlfriends, and we were standing around in her kitchen talking. And we were talking about what it means to participate in the needs of the world and taking care of responsibilities at home. And both her and I sort of sympathized with each other about how, you know, making cookies for your family and cooking a really great dinner and having the house sort of tidy and welcoming and quiet for when people come home is it's a really great thing. If you can do it, it's a great thing. It creates this, like a retreat center, you create this welcoming atmosphere for people to come in and sort of lay down their burdens from the day and, you know, throw their backpacks in their bedroom and just take it easy. Put their feet up, have a good meal, get refreshed. And there's something really great about it. But it's so easy to see something that looks more needy on the outside as something that is better to be doing than some of those plain old disciplines at home. And so as I was describing my stage of life to my friend, I heard myself say, you know, I feel like I'm sitting on the bench and all I want to do is play the game, but God is not letting me. And as soon as I finished the sentence, I knew that there was something wrong about that perspective. So I sort of sat with it for a bit. I wanted to quickly explain myself to her and try to cover it up, but I had heard myself say it. I knew it was coming from somewhere, and I thought, no, I'll sit with it for a couple days. Maybe God is going to reveal something to me and expose something about my own heart that I haven't been able to see yet. So I reflected over the next couple days, and I thought back to high school. I made the teams. I went to high school here in the city, and I made the junior team in grade 10, and I was given a uniform, and I was welcomed onto the volleyball team and the basketball team, and I was thrilled. I loved it. I loved the just hanging out with the girlfriends, and we'd all meet in the hallway, and we all had the matching uniform and the bag, and we'd go to tournaments together and sit in the hallway, and, you know, I just loved that community and that sense of just being the team. But I wasn't great. You know, I just didn't have a lot of experience. I didn't go to camps in the summer to improve my skills. I made it, probably with a sense from the coach that I had some potential, but I wasn't fantastic. So whenever the game started, I sat on the bench, and I was reminded of that this weekend when I was watching my son play, and I looked at the bench and I saw the younger grade sevens just sitting there, just waiting to be put on. And it's a difficult place to be. And I remembered, you know, as the season went on, that I was just not getting a lot of playing time. And unless our team was winning a lot or losing really bad, the coach just didn't put me out there. So I lived for the warm-ups, I lived for the practices, I lived for the time where we just got to kind of shoot around together. But game time, I hit the bench. So grade 11, I made the team again. I made the senior team this time, and I thought I had it made. So game time again, on the bench. And throughout that season, I found it increasingly difficult. And I decided that my attitude was going to need to change, or I was going to get quite resentful. So I decided to become the best source of encouragement and support for my team that I could be. And it changed everything for me. I enjoyed the games. I cheered loudly and energetically for my teammates. And I loved being part of the action. And at the end of the season, we sat around at our team party, just kind of sharing jokes about how the year went and telling funny stories. And my coach poked fun at a few things, but then she said, "Oh yeah, and then there's Heather. What an irritating cheering voice she has." And she laughed. And I was crushed. The only thing that I had contributed, in her impression, was irritating. And words, you know, cannot express how completely cold and shattering that comment was to me after an entire season of disciplining myself to be the encouragement person for that team, instead of complaining about the bench or complaining to the coach about putting me in. I felt like everything that I had worked for had just been completely disregarded. So after leaving my friend's house on that lunchtime that we were spending together, I took time to just to reflect about how I had described my current life situation as feeling like I was sitting on the bench. And why had I used that illustration? And I thought, you know, for lots of years I have given into a spontaneous, generous, or guilty thought that crossed my mind without really checking to see if it was God's direction for my life. Just sort of blasting in to be involved in something at the church or helping someone who needed a hand without sort of thinking through the long-term consequences or involvement. And sometimes I found that I had to quit a commitment a few months in because I had overcommitted myself and I was unable to follow through. So then now I was living in this quiet season and I had really sensed that God had called me to just live very simply and very quietly and take care of my health and take this one class at seminary and just take care of family life here at home. And yet I had this feeling that I was sitting on the bench. And I really didn't know how to think it through on my own. So I looked up at the back of my Bible, and I looked up in the concordance and flipped through, and I found the word participate. And it led me to 2 Peter, and this is what I read. It's in 2 Peter chapter 1, 3-8. It says this: His divine power, God's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, for the reason that we can participate, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let me just hit that last verse one more time. If you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I just soaked these words up. I thought, yes, God, I want to be effective. I want to be productive. I want to participate. And Peter writes in here that I am permitted to participate. Everybody's allowed to play, to be in the game. Off the bench, in you go. Peter describes it as being able to participate in the divine nature. So my desire to be effective and productive is actually a really good thing. It's not, it's ambitious, absolutely. But I want to be doing something good. Let me in the game. Let me. But it doesn't rely on a frantic sort of outward grasp at something. You know, a good deed or a checklist of just, you know, anything that I think looks worthwhile or the most productive. It's actually grounded in this private, quiet cultivation of this interior world, the inner world, my soul, adding to my faith things like goodness and self-control and perseverance, all those things that exist within an ordered and disciplined and perhaps very quiet day. So if we go back to that conversation with my girlfriend in the kitchen, you know, we had talked about a lot of things that were going on in the world that we wished we could participate in. And we thought maybe we should find a way. We talked about the hours of the day and the evening. We talked about how difficult it was to stick to just a schedule and be disciplined in, you know, all the many options that we had to do during the day. We talked about how it was just difficult to stick to some of those disciplined routine of tasks that made our family's schedule function well. But we also agreed that when we abandon those things for something that's more exciting or activities that appear more productive, we notice a very quiet disintegration of that gentle, ordered life that we believe God is calling us to. So, you know, I went out for coffee that week and I sat in Starbucks with a nice hot coffee and there was some jazz music in the background and I was comfy and I had my laptop on my knee and outside a guy comes walking by pushing a shopping cart full of bottles and his shoes are really ragged and his jacket is quite thin and his face is red with cold. And I sat there writing on my laptop feeling like, this is ridiculous. What a ridiculous quiet life I'm leading when there's people that really need help. So I decided, instead of just spontaneously running out there to offer him a hot coffee, which I do, and I still do, and I would do, I think that's okay. This time I decided, just sit still, Heather, and apply what you're learning to this new thought. So I applied what I had just read in 2 Peter to this very thought that I was struggling with at the time. And it was about God's divine power, which equips me with everything I need for life and for godliness, which means that I don't lack anything because of God's power. So this angst, this anxious feeling of being left out or on the bench or unproductive, it's not true, not at all. 2 Peter says, I have the skills, I'm empowered by God, God thinks I'm ready, God is ready to put me out there. And then it also says that I've been called by God's own glory and goodness. God has chosen me. He's picked me for the team, not based on my skills, thankfully, based on his qualities. So God looks at me and says, you know what, Heather? I'm ready for you to get out there. I want you to go play. I don't want you on the bench. I totally have what it takes for you to do what I'm asking you to do out there. Because I'm full of the qualities, God says. And he wants to select me and put me out there and send me right into the thick of the moment, right into the where all the action is based on God's abilities, not mine. He's given me promises so that through them, I might participate in tasks that he has for me. No, not really. So that I might participate in his divine nature. The divine nature. What? That's a crazy statement. That's not about giving me a couple minutes of game time at the end of the season. That is first string status. You know, he's letting me participate in the divine nature of God. He's also protecting me from corruption in the world caused by evil desire. So he provides a way for me to participate without becoming corrupted in ways that will destroy me and cause me to participate in the wrong game. So first of all, God wants me out there. Absolutely. There is no bench in God's game. Everybody is playing. He lets me participate in his divine nature. His abilities give me everything I need to play to be out there. And he's also protecting me from being corrupted by the desires that might cause me to want to play the wrong game, to be involved in the wrong stuff. So what does he ask me to do? Well, in 2 Peter it says, make every effort to add to your faith, and then he's got this whole list. So let's go back to that conversation with my girlfriend, and let's recreate that, what that would have happened in the kitchen there. It was a great conversation, but what if we went a different direction? Instead of discussing all the needs that we felt we weren't able to participate in, and my description was that I feel like I'm sitting on the bench and I just don't get to do all the things that I want to do. Let's change it. Let's say it goes like this. My friend says to me, Heather, what does your faith look like right now? And I say, well, I am trusting God to lead me through this quiet phase of life that to me feels unproductive. But I know that he's given me everything I need to participate in his divine nature of what God is up to in the world. And then my girlfriend might say to me, so Heather, what are you adding to your faith? And I would say, well, let's see. I'm adding goodness. Okay, this is out of 2 Peter. I'm adding goodness. And for me, that would mean I'm going for walks in nature. I'm eating healthy food. I'm listening to good music. I'm having fun. I have good friendships. I'm confessing with my friends and allowing them to look into my life. There's goodness in that. What else are you adding, Heather? Well, let's see. I'm adding knowledge. I'm studying my Bible. I'm reading books. I'm discussing with friends. I'm letting the childlike play of my kids teach me things. I'm learning. I'm accessing my brain, allowing knowledge to come in. And I'm also adding self-control. And what does that look like? Well, I'm prayerfully reining in some of those spontaneous ideas. I'm making decisions and actually following through. I'm eating well. I'm exercising regularly. Keeping up with financial responsibilities. I'm resisting anxious thoughts and trying to shut down that part of my brain that wants to churn conversations and replay them and remake scenarios. So I'm adding some self-control. And what else are you adding, Heather? I'm adding perseverance. I'm following through on commitments, setting small goals, accomplishing them, chipping away at bigger projects. Regardless of how it feels, I'm following through on things. And I'm adding godliness. What does that look like? Well, it's meditating on Jesus, on his suffering, his words, his example, spending time in prayer like Jesus did. And to that, I'm also adding brotherly kindness. This disciplined life sometimes makes me feel anxious and withdrawn, so I'm choosing to extend kindness and generosity to friends and family. And to brotherly kindness, love. Well, loving people that are difficult to love. I'm choosing to pray for them, give to them, offer forgiveness and encouragement, regardless of how I feel. And then my friend would say to me, then, Heather, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, this is straight out of 2 Peter, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have knowledge of Jesus Christ, you know who you're following. You can recognize the voice of your shepherd. You will hear his voice and know who to follow, which way to turn. And that's a very secure and very safe and very productive place to be. So I encourage you today, as you're thinking about your own life, whether you live with chronic illness or you have something else that is limiting you in some way, or you just have that sense that God has called you to a quieter place in life and it's causing some suffering in you, because there is a loss of something. You can't get out and quickly satisfy that need to whatever it is, whatever used to be really fun and exciting to you, or whatever you compare yourself to, that job you used to have that was really great, really fun. Maybe your life is a little bit more steady now, a little bit more ordinary, and there's an angst that comes with that. I just invite you to take a look at that in 2 Peter and think about that fact that we are invited into this to participate with God in his divine nature. And the active thing that we can do is to be adding all those things into our life, the self-control and the knowledge and the perseverance and the godliness. And that's a full-time job. And wouldn't it be great if we had good spiritual friendships with people that when we talk, we can say, hey, listen, ask me, when you see me this week, ask me what I'm adding to my faith. Ask me how that's going. Because that's the action that I want to be telling you about. Not, well, there's all this stuff going on, I don't know how. Well, what are you actually doing? Because God is inviting us to participate with him and to be involved. And he's also saying, and while we're working together like this, while you're participating in what I have for you, Heather, what are you adding? Add some things. And it's all stuff that I can do. I can do it quietly in my home. I can add all those things. And I can be involved. And I don't have to sit on the bench. And I'm excited about that. And I'm excited about how full and exciting life really is when we allow God to reshape our perspective, to see it as he sees it. And yes, God cares about the guy that's walking by collecting bottles. But instead of a spastic reaction to that, why don't I sit with God for a second and just ask him, God, what is your perspective on this? How do you want me to participate? What can I do? What kind of brotherly love can I show to this guy? And continually ask God how that is to be played out. And God will show you. He really will. But it becomes more of a focus on looking to God first and then what you do. It's that quick glance that an athlete has when he's out there playing volleyball or basketball, and he quickly looks over at his coach, and his coach gives him a signal or gives him a quick little word of advice, and he gets back into the game. Those are the moments where we need to look at God and say, what do you have for me? Because we're out there. We're not on the bench. We're out there participating, and God has lots of great, exciting stuff for us to be involved in.